Good evening. We are studying Daniel chapter 6 in our Wednesday evening Bible study. Just a quick little introduction. This chapter, not much time has gone by since chapter 5, where Belshazzar was killed and the Medes and Persians took over for the Babylonians. Darius became the king at that time, the leader. He only lived about 2 years after that, but according to what we read here, this chapter happens very shortly after chapter 5. So let's get into it. Daniel 6:1. It pleased Darius, this is the ruler of the Medes and Persians, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, and it just pronounced the way it sounds, satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom. So probably what it was 120 provinces, and so they had one satrap per province. And it says, and over them three high officials. Now these would be administrators, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account, should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. So you had 120, probably divided into groups of 40. And so you had three administrators, one for every 40 satraps. And what they were supposed to do was check on the satraps to make sure they were governing fairly and not being corrupt. And it's very possible that two of the administrators might have been corrupt themselves, you know. So if you've got one of them is corrupt, then, you know, anything could happen. But we know that Daniel was not. So verse 3. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Again, I see so much similarities here between this story and the one about Joseph, because they both distinguished themselves in whatever position they were put in. Verse 4. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. So they were extremely jealous, especially given the fact that Daniel was an outsider. So we have a little racism going on here. He was a Jew. He wasn't one of them. And here he is, their boss, or at least to the other two administrators, their equal. And he was favored by Darius. And so they were very, very upset and very, very jealous. And this causes so many problems. Verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So they planned on using his faith against him.
And that's what's happening with us.
And that's what's happening with us. They call us today Christian nationalists, and that's supposed to be a derogatory term. You're a Christian nationalist. And they say it in such a way as to put some people on the defensive. You know, oh, I'm not. Well, yeah, you better be. That's a good thing. But the way they say it, and then the other day I heard one of the Democratic congressmen talk about Donald Trump and his cult.
Yeah.
A cult? You know, half the country, at least, that support him at this time, whether you support him or not makes no difference. I wouldn't call that a cult. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's half the country. I mean, even if you disagree with it, it's still not a cult. And then the slogan, Make America Great Again, I think that sounds good. I think that's a positive thing. Joe Biden's slogan, the first time he campaigned, was Build Back Better. Well, that kind of sounds like the same thing to me. Build back better and make America great again.
Yeah.
They mean basically the same thing.
They do. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yes, they planned on using his faith against him. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. Now, they always said that. That was just something they said. You'll see this over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So they got together and they agreed on a plan to trap Daniel. So all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are now they're talking to him. This is their voice, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, they're doing two things here. They are flattering him, right? And he was a good guy, but he was still subject to being flattered. And the other thing is they're lying to him. Because it wasn't the counselors and the governors and the prefects. It was just the administrators and the satraps. Okay. But they told him that all these other ones also meant that, to make it look like that they were all in agreement. There were a bunch of people and they all agreed on this, which makes it more influential. You know, they're thinking, if we tell him and everybody else is in on it, he may have even thought Daniel was in on it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Why wouldn't Daniel be in on it when he was over the whole entire empire?
Of course, Daniel didn't know they were doing this. You know, they were doing it secretly from Daniel.
I know.
But according to Darius, he's probably thinking, yeah, Daniel's in on it too. So if Daniel's in on it, it must be a decent thing. It must be okay. So they deceived him, they lied to him, and they flattered him. And it worked. It worked.
And you know where the same story like that? Almost. Remember? Yeah, you do. Well,
tell me real quick.
Esther.
Oh, okay. Yes.
With Hanan.
Yeah. Hanan. Yeah. Good point. Very good point. Mm-hmm. Daniel 6:8. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. So that was the key, getting it signed. Because this would compel Darius by his own law to enforce it with no exceptions. Once it was written down, even he couldn't undo it. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Now, I really believe he thought Daniel was part of this, or he wouldn't have done it. Because why would he do that? He knew about Daniel. He knew about Daniel's beliefs and everything.
Wouldn't you have thought he'd say, well, where's Daniel? How come he's not here?
He probably wished he would have said that,
right?
Because he really regretted it.
Yep.
When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, got down on his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So it did not change his behavior one tiny little bit. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Now, they wanted to catch him in the act. They knew what time he prayed. They went there probably to claim they wanted to have a meeting with him. Mm-hmm. And they just happened to find him praying.
Yeah.
Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. And then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, mm-hmm. pays no attention to you, O king, mm-hmm. or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Mm-hmm. So they spied on Daniel, and they couldn't wait to tell on him. Mm-hmm. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Mm-hmm. Now, notice here that when he found out Daniel wasn't doing, he didn't get angry. There's no indication he was angry with Daniel for his disobedience. Mm-hmm. But Nebuchadnezzar was, with the three Hebrew children, he was really mad at them because they wouldn't bow down to that statue. Mm-hmm. Also noticed he was trying to figure out a way to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out, is any way possible he can get out of this mess? Mm-hmm. So then these men came by agreement. And here they are, the other two administrators and the 120 satraps. Now, it doesn't say specifically. I think one place it does say all. So it may have been all 120, but not absolutely sure. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. So this is what they're saying. And you can't change it. Nah, 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 nah. This is exactly what they're saying. Yeah. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. So he knew that Daniel served God. And I still think because he knew that, for some reason, he probably thought Daniel was part of that agreement.
Would he have known how Daniel was with Nebuchadnezzar?
Well, possibly. But he was close to Daniel. You know, he made Daniel, Daniel was his favorite of the administrators.
I'm just saying,
I would say they had a very close relationship.
And, right. And so he obviously, knew that he'd done it with
if you knew if you knew Daniel, you knew
that he
followed God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's rooting for Daniel. The king is rooting for him. Mm-hmm. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. So they rolled that stone over there, and then they would put wax down, and as it would before it hardened, he would put his signet ring against that.
Yeah.
And that way, if anyone tried to get in there and move that stone, it would break that, and they would tell that there was mischief being done. And they also had some of those same administrators do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does this remind you of? The stone over the...
Oh, the tomb of Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And you know, they wanted to make sure that no one was going to get in there and get the body of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, meaning entertainment or music.
Mm-hmm.
And the sleep fled from him. So he was very, very stressed. He couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. It was a long night. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. Notice he wasn't even there yet.
Mm-hmm.
The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?"
Mm-hmm.
So again, he was yelling this before he got there. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." So Janet's right. There's something that they did all the time. It was just standard greeting. "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Now, here's the point that Daniel was making. What he was saying is, I have done you no harm. That order was ill-conceived, because my praying did not harm or threaten you in any way. You know, that's what a bad order it was. The fact that he prayed to his God all the time didn't affect the king one way or the other. And that's what he was saying. I never did, even though I disobeyed that law, I didn't hurt you in any way. And this brings up another point about civil disobedience. And civil disobedience is when a Christian, or at least it applies to Christians, breaks the law because that law is against their worship. It's against their ability to worship freely.
The laws of the land.
Laws of the land. You know, when there's a law, let's say you've got a doctor who is a strong Christian, and he chooses not to do abortions,
mm-hmm.
and then what they're trying to do is force them to do them,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying, you know, trying to make a law that if someone needs it, you have to, and you're a doctor, you have to provide it for them. And they stand up and say, "I will not do it." That's civil disobedience. And that's following their conscience, following, you know, what they believe is the word of God, and they will not do it. Other than that, we are supposed to obey the law. You know, we're supposed to pay our taxes. We're supposed to be respectful to authorities and all that. We're supposed to pray for the authorities even when we disagree with them. But the only time we are permitted to break the law is when it has to do with standing for God. And,
right.
And we are even expected to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus cleaned out the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably was not something that, you know, everybody looked at, who gave him authority to do that? Well, he's God.
He's God.
Yeah. But there are times when we need to stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to do that. This is wrong." You know. And that's what that was. And he's saying, "I did not harm you in any way. I didn't hurt anybody else. No one was hurt."
Mm-hmm.
Says, then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Now,
why would the wives and the children have to be thrown in?
I know, and I knew that was going to come up, and I thought the same thing. And I did have a couple of thoughts about that. Certainly one is that was something that they did in that day. A lot of times when a man did something wrong, the family was punished along with it. Who was it, the fellow, when the Hebrew children, they had a battle, and he kept some of the things. He was killed, and his family, Achan, I think his name was Achan.
Korah.
Yeah.
There's Korah as well.
And then it says here, what I put down is, one reason for this was the assumption, a lot of times, that family members would be like-minded. In other words, that corruptness breeds corruption.
Yeah.
Often, history has shown us that when wicked kings or officials are killed, their sons prove to be worse than they were. And we see that in history a lot of times. And there was also a concern that the children would vow revenge someday.
Yeah.
And so, basically, what this was a purging. And I'm not okaying it one way or the other. You know, it's not my call. But the culture at that time had their reasons for doing that. And it wasn't just at this time that they did it. I mean, it was at other times, too, that this was done. And basically, it was like the family was made responsible, too.
According to my footnote, it said, in accordance with the Persian custom, this cruel punishment was transferred to those who had conspired against. So that, so what the husbands did, the wives had to pay for it, too.
Yes, and the children. Yeah, it's just what happened.
Gotcha.
Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Now, the rest of this is going to remind you of Nebuchadnezzar, because with the situation of the Hebrew children, and then when Daniel was able to interpret the dream, he said basically the same thing. I made a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He was actually given the gift of prophecy right here. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. This is reminiscent of Nebuchadnezzar's declarations, absolutely. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So let's pray. Dear Lord, this is just a tremendous chapter here, a lot to learn here. And we are taught somewhat about the need for civil disobedience sometimes, dear Lord. And there are times when we just need to listen to you, listen to the Holy Spirit. There are times when we need to take a stand. There are times when we need to speak out. And give us the courage and the wisdom to know. Give us the wisdom to know when that time is, and the courage to be able to do it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.